Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ABL Pod Damn It, where pigs fly and Troy is booty.
Can you not hear the intro? Either way, it's me. It's me. It's Well, it plays for 30 seconds, Gary. Either way, that's Gary, the man who just had his, you know, second most winningest season in the history of ABL. Congratulations, Gary.
Thank you, sir.
We are here today, though, to talk about everything and anything that is the last sim of the ABL and break down the last 9 or 10 meaningful matchups here, Gary. And the ABL, and we have a lot of good matchups. We have a couple, you know, most notably, I think I don't know how you feel. I feel like it's one of the biggest, maybe not the biggest, because both teams have already clinched. It's the Mile High in Georgia playing for the divisional crown here, with Mile High leading that series 8-4. Like I said, Mile High is up one game on Georgia for the division crown, and the first round bye is on the line. If they tie, which I believe is possible, right? If Georgia goes 2 of 3. No, they can't tie, right? I don't know. either way, we have
one
for Mile
game,
High.
What is it, a one-game difference?
Yeah, they could tie.
Yeah, they could tie. 2-1, 3-0.
Okay, so I don't know who would
one
get
and,
the...
One
go ahead.
I believe it's a playoff game.
Playoff game,
I don't
so...
know how the game engine because there's a bye and it's there's an implication.
Either way, we have Destrana Shawnee taking on the ace of Georgia, Enrico Cano. We have Jose Albertani from Mile High going against Gabriel Nunez, the number 2. And we have Charles Wilson going against Godobe Tadiato, which all 5 of those names I'm sure I absolutely butchered, Gary. We have the series in Georgia. Do you have a preference on who you think is going to win this series and who you think is going to win that division?
I'm going to go with, I believe, Mile High. I've picked them all along. Especially since the, yeah, I like Mile High. Mile High is good. They're good people.
Georgia,
but I gotta get my tin big in. But
don't worry,
we're
gonna shit on Mr. Ego in a minute.
I love it.
He keeps shooting him. He keeps shooting himself in the foot with his. Well, you guys don't believe jinxes are real. I'm a firm believer of the jinx, and if one was to make an argument that jinxes are real, one would have to point to what Irvin's been doing. Mile High is, I don't have their road stats up, but Georgia is a +600 on the road. They're 47-31. They're going with their 3 aces, which are all lefties. Mile High doesn't hit lefties. Mile High is actually not good on the road either. So I think if Georgia is to have a chance, this is actually, you know, everything's set up for how he would want it to be set up. If you told both teams that they would be playing for the number 1 seed the last weekend of the season, and we're already both guaranteed, I don't think either one would give a flying fuck if they won the number 1 seed or not, considering both were out of the playoffs last year, Georgia going from the number 4 to the potentially number 1 or number 2 spot, and Mile High going from spot number 6. 6th to 1st or 2nd.
I believe there's a huge advantage for that number 1 spot. So I'll be in disagreement there because you got one less series to play through. And I think it means all the world.
I was more so referencing, given where both teams were last year, being outside the playoffs, if they had to, you know, if you told them at the beginning of the year, okay, you may not win the division, but you're a lock to make the playoffs, I think either would take it. I'm going to go ahead and, though, go on the opposite side of you and say Georgia, just because I'm going to be the contrarian today. So I'm going to go with Georgia. I like the team lineup for him. Really?
You contradicted yourself in your predictions, though.
In fairness, we did those before the trade deadline. I mean, we did those at the deadline. So I get what you're saying, but 2 months has changed a lot.
You only had Georgia for third.
I did have Georgia for third. However, I also had Luke at second. So clearly I wasn't bought on with that here. But either way, it was, you know, it was when he was 7 back and 2 months ago and, you know, whatever. Things change, Gary. Things change. And talk about changing, let me transition real quick into the Kansas City Tornadoes, who, Him and Eureka for the past six sims have went from being a game up or a half a game up on one another. And it's kind of funny that the two most historically notable teams in that division are fighting for the last spot. I mean,
you could even make an argument on our side, only because between them, what, four World Series wins?
They have all your World Series wins. Your only World Series wins on your side.
Yeah, so they're the story here and how aging franchises are now bailing out.
Correct.
So,
I think we disagree a little bit. I think Eureka's was a rebuild, couple of year rebuild, but yet KC is definitely faded. He didn't need the Nelson injury. I don't know if you saw Nelson went down for 5 months last night. So Nelson, I mean, he wasn't scheduled to pitch anyways from what it looks like in his rotation. He wasn't scheduled to go the last three games. However, that definitely changes his ceiling if he is to make the playoffs. He leads the season series 7-5 over Jersey, obviously. What's on the line here is Casey is one game back in the last spot. Eureka and South Carolina, you lead that series 7-5. Eureka is one up. South Carolina can also make the playoffs if they went out and get to a playoff play-in game and get that as well. You have Romero, Laringer, and Tom O'Day lined up against Paul Barrett, Morgan Tyson, and Pat. I've been paid to throw the game Sheffield. And it's funny, actually. If you look at it, KC's also starting Locke Jurgens the last game of the season as well. So two pitchers cast off in South Carolina will be pitching game 162 with playoff hopes on the line, in which Pat Sheffield and Locke Jurgens will take the mound for a team other than South Carolina. Go figure.
Oh, yeah. And you might have Ruiz in Dukeville going, and that's another one.
Yeah, Ruiz.
Now, he's scheduled to go first in that series against Brooklyn. That means absolutely nothing. He'll be lining up his rotation.
Either or, it is notable that you've had so much talent that they're all starting game 162s with the biggest game of the season on the line. So we got KC going to Jersey. Eureka going to South Carolina. Both teams are on the road. Jersey's obviously the easier of the two matchups. You lead the series 7-5 over Eureka. KC leads the season series 7-5 over Jersey. With that being said, I'm going to go Eureka. It's going to go 2-3 versus you, or actually, I don't know what Eureka's going to do against you. I'm going to say Eureka makes the playoffs, though, which unfortunately, Gary, could spell doom for your Bombers. I mean, unless both of you guys sweep them. I'm going to go with Eureka getting in, though. Over KC, and mainly because I think Tim has been so gung-ho about his team, he's been jinxing the shit out of him. I know you don't believe in the jinx, but I do. So I'm going to go with Eureka.
No, Tim is going to squeeze his slimy, pathetic ass in. He's going to probably go 3-0 against Jersey. I just can't picture it not happening. And he's on the road. Let's just see what Kansas City is, home and away, and all that other stuff.
I'm there right now.
Well,
Josh,
on the road. 33,
I know.
Yeah.
33-45. Yeah.
Yeah, 4.23 winning percentage. So he's not at his house of horrors. Let's see what Jersey
that
is.
Does
you
help,
know, just for kicks and giggles.
That does help his pitching a little bit, Gary. Let's give him that. His pitching will be improved on the road, obviously. However, he's throwing Caras, who has a 4.30 ERA, Lopez, who has a 5.50, and the ever-so-spectacular. You know how little pitching Tim has? Tim has so little pitching that Jurgens has made 24 he's appeared in 24 games. He started 19 games, and he has a 7.25 ERA. He is 1-2 with an 8.63 ERA in his last eight games. He has absolutely nobody else to go to with Nelson, Cano, and Bahashar on the DL. It's just going to be, fuck, can we hold on in Kansas City? And it's kind of a bad position to be in because you're not trying to hold on. You're trying to make a surge here. I think Eureka gets in, even though he's playing a much tougher team in South Carolina. I don't know. I mean, his run differential, Kansas City. I mean, this is okay. So KC is like second in run scored. Our first in run scored, 884. His runs against is over 800 as well. That is absolutely fucking crazy. If he had two comparable starting pitchers, his runs against would probably be around 750, and he would be walking, or seven, you know, even 770, and he'd be walking into the playoffs lineup up three games. It's just crazy how bad his pitching has been this year. I mean, it really is remarkable, Gary.
Well, he lost two guys. Cano, 34 years old. He's out for six more days. That's going to be interesting. He's got 17 days left on the DL. Cano probably will not see the playoffs. He had two good guys in Cano and Nelson. Nelson went down, but he wasn't doing what he did earlier in his career.
I just
missed it.
I just missed it. Morgan Tyson went out for 6 to 7 months for Eureka as well. His 3.5-star starter, or 3-star at a 3.5-star starter. So he's going to be without him as well in this game. I don't know what he's going to do. He has Rogers on the deal. He has Galindo on the deal. He has Whitney, two of which are starters. I mean, how far Eureka has fallen with injuries and just with his team declining as well, as you've mentioned. I mean, he has Tim McCreary starting, and he's been passed around like an STD the last few years around the ABL. It's really quite remarkable. He has one catcher, Jerry. It's 40-man rosters, and he has one catcher on the roster. I mean, it's pretty – I guess he has Cesar Soto as a backup emergency catcher. But, I mean, looking now, the – god dang. Things are not looking great in Eureka nor Kansas City. Both of which
see happening there. Eureka's got to win the first game. To win the first game against me. If he doesn't win the first game, his pitching is going to get exponentially worse as that series goes along.
And Barrett could win the first game. Barrett
If he loses the first, he's going to have a tough time to hold on. He needs to go at least 2-1 against me. If he goes 2-1 against me, he's at least obviously clinched a spot. With one game, and I can't see Kansas City sweeping Jersey. So
it just won't happen.
Kansas City going 2-1. I see them going 2-1. Cabo needs to go 2-1 as well and hold serve.
Okay. He needs help.
I think Eureka's is winning that first game, and if he loses the first game, I have a feeling he might get swept. Now, which is good for me. I need help going back to my division, but Jacksonville's got Oakland, and they are what they are.
Oakland's only 8-4 against Jack. I mean, Jacksonville has beaten Oakland this year, but he hasn't absolutely thrashed them. What's on the line, obviously, is Jacksonville's magic number being 1 and 2 to secure the last wild card spot.
Then there's Cabo, who I have to leapfrog as well. That they need, if they go 2-1, Jacksonville goes 0-3, and I go 3-0. We got a three-way tie for the last spot.
Here's where you're helping
Gary. Jacksonville. I don't see Jacksonville going 0-3. I just want to go on the record and just say that because we're not going to lose all credibility and say that's what's going to happen.
All credibility boosted here, Gary Altman. As we saw, who was enjoying his time at AAA or the minor league baseball stadium instead of coaching them at Havana Stogie's minor league affiliate. What an asshole move by Altman, by the way, to tweet that out. The good thing for you, Gary, is San Francisco, even though that they've clinched, they're not going to be resting people because you know what? I'm looking right here. We also have this. Maple plays Edmonton, okay? San Francisco plays Cabos. If both of those teams get swept and Jacksonville sweeps, Jacksonville, based on what I'm looking at head-to-head, could take the division. So I don't think that happens either, but there is a whole bunch of nonsense still going on in the Billy Martin division. It's 3 days left.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking at it from my point of view and seeing Jacksonville possibly losing three. I never even considered that they could actually sweep. Well, I did consider that they could sweep, but not that they could end up taking the division.
Bonkers at this point. That's why on the prediction sheet, Goldie just didn't even touch the Billy Martin division because we don't know what the fuck's going on in the Billy Martin division. I mean, really? We really have no idea. I hope Goldie's able to do the live sim for 3 days, even if, you know, just get the chat room going and the live sim going, because I think with so many fucking amazing things
what he could do is slow it down completely. You tune into the live sim and you can watch the games develop as they go.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, let's do that.
No, but
then
let's see the games in it by batter by batter. But maybe do that for game 162 if it's necessary, or just for kicks and giggles.
I would be okay with him doing the whole sim on the last 3 days, the live sim thing. I mean, but you know me, I'm an ABL nerd. I like watching everything. So If he wants to do that, and you know Goldie, he's great about it. If he has time, he'll do it. And what we need to do is make sure to do it and not post the file for the following morning so Irvin has to watch it. You know what I mean? So Irvin, so he has to watch it. He has to come in and see what the fuck's going on. And then we'll just do like a big thread where it just says spoilers, don't tell Tim. And he'll just see the count growing to 30, to 40, to 50. And he'll just be like, fuck, I should have watched it. That would be my hope. But yes, Jacksonville could actually leapfrog San Francisco and Maple if there's type. I mean, if who knows, man? I mean, this Billy Martin division was absolutely crazy to begin the year. It's absolutely crazy to end the year. And it's funny because no one's really playing each other outside of Cabos and San Francisco, who have tied the season series at 6. We have Good versus Paul Grock, Sanchez, the rookie phenom, versus Arnold Duran, and we have Bird versus Lane. I mean, dude, the playoffs in ABL are fucking amazing this season. They've completely,
absolutely.
Everything came down.
Here's something I want to go into before we go into the Attenbury division, which I think, in my opinion, is the better race out of all of them over the Mile High Georgia race that's going on. But before we get that, I'd be remiss in not picking on Troy a little bit. You know, he thinks I hate him. I really don't. You know,
you
I
just don't like
guy.
Him. There's a difference in hating and not liking
him. I just don't like him. Yeah, it's very different. But he has managed to play almost 800 ball in September. He's gone 19-5, which is insane. However, he has managed, while playing 792 ball, to lose a game in the standings to you.
Yeah, what an asshole. Way to not. And I think this is what he's talking about when he says, welcome to the Bobby Cox where we play for second. I mean, all joking aside, as I mentioned to you, I've had a lot of very good sims this season.
I
look at this
and I know he's hot. I know he's hot because every sim you look at the streak or the last 10, 7-3, 9-1, 8-2. He's on a 6-game winning streak, which is only tied for the best winning streak right now in the league with none other than you. It's like you don't even give the guy a break.
Well, here's
he's
the thing.
He's 800 ball, and you still take a game away from him in the standings.
Here's the thing.
You got to laugh. It is hysterical.
I would say he said 5 months to make up his ground in the division, but I get what you're saying. I mean, this is what I've said all year long. Duke is the second best team on my side, in my opinion. The only thing difference between myself and Duke is that I have a little more depth to have a little more consistency. That's the only difference. My guys are aging out, my top shelf depth guys. So it'll be interesting. I did notice that, and I wasn't going to bring it up, because I just didn't feel the need to. But, yeah, way to fucking sit on your hands, Troy. I mean, really.
To the playoffs.
Well, he's actually really set apart the division. Remember, he was only a half game up the beginning of September, and he's 6 up now. I'm looking for something here, and I can never find it when I'm looking for it. Team and statistics and info. I can't find it. I was looking for the post-All-Star break record, and I believe he was second, but I can't find it.
That's in the standings page and expanded standings. So you click
standing.
On the
there you go.
Dan.
Yes. So post-All-Star break.
It's amazing that I know this crap off the top of my head.
So
pre-All-Star game, he was 500.
Yeah, well, just about around there. Yeah, I know he was. You're right. So he's played me tight the second half. He's just, you know.
Yeah,
just,
he still lost 4.5 games to you in the second half.
It is what it is. His first half, Seattle, you know what's also funny? If you look, Seattle's +5 and Las Vegas is -6, which would put them as 100, like basically ridiculously world apart.
What
South
do you mean
Carolina's
-6? Because I'm looking at Las Vegas as +2 in the second half. 43-41.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the projected record. The projected record thing where he's -6 and Seattle's +5,
okay.
Which explains the difference. Sorry. Oh, but no. Yeah, no. I jumped around there. I absolutely love this page. I always forget where it's at. I didn't realize I'm actually 4-8 in extra inning games, which is fairly awful. Who's good in extra innings this year? Doesn't look like anybody's great. Seattle's 11-9.
I'm 12-8. That's a .600 winning percentage.
Yeah, Jacksonville's 10-5. You guys are both absolutely
that's
wonderful.
That's 6-7.
Yeah. No, I mean you guys have both been pretty good.
I am surprised. I'm surprised you've only played 12 extra inning games. You would kind of think that would be a little bit higher. But then again,
usually,
Washington's played 7.
Yeah.
Let's see, Manhattan
seven
Beach has played 10. You know what? To the eye test, I thought that would be a higher number across the board. But I guess not.
Seattle's played 20. That's a lot. Quebec has played 20 or 19. Mile High is actually 6-13 in extra inning games. Okay, now that we've bored people by just looking at the actual standings page for 10 minutes.
Looking to follow along.
For those looking to click through games, yes. For those looking to follow along. So we have Seattle and Montreal. Seattle, whose magic number is 1, needs 1 game to clinch a playoff spot. Vegas at Havana. Vegas needs to win 3 games in a row, and Seattle needs to get swept by Montreal. Montreal and Havana are tied for the last spot. Montreal blew his load with Hasegawa and Gallegos, so he has his 3-4-5, Cato being his best chance to get the victory. I mean, not his best chance, but his overwhelmingly best pitcher left. And Havana throwing Stroud, Ozawa, and Kim. So while we have always talked about Montreal having the advantage in the postseason with his rotation, that is true, but here in the last 3 games of the season, his rotation is basically equal to Havana's back in rotation. So really, the second and third best, or the first and third best offenses in the RCL are going to slug it out against Seattle and Las Vegas. And, I mean, who do you got, Gary? You've been on the Havana all year. I've been singing Montreal's praises all of the second half. Who do you got? I mean, I think I'm leaning Montreal. Are you leaning Havana here?
I'm leaning Havana. I like Havana.
I'm going to go with the home team. That's Montreal.
I'm just bringing both of them up. Let me do a little split screen action. Havana, they both got middle of the road starters. Cato's going for Montreal in the last game, it looks like.
Yeah.
If the rotations in game are true to form, now I believe there's a day off in there, so they can all go, they can skip a starter here. They can skip one of the starters. Havana, if they were to skip a starter, would bring Minor back into the fold, who's 18-6 and a 4.15 ERA.
Is this the last day of the season?
He would go the last day of the season. He would skip a starter.
Here's the problem.
Now, settle down.
Yes.
On the flip side, Montreal's got Cato already going and scheduled to go. He can bring in Hasegawa. There is a chance that Montreal could throw their top 2 guns in this game. In which case, and then they still got Gallegos if they fall. I am thinking, and this is just, I'm thinking outside the box here. Montreal is going to skip either Molina or McGill. And one of those two is, I think Cato and Hasegawa are going games 2 and 3, which makes it much tougher for Havana to get through. I'm going to go Montreal in this, actually, now looking at that aspect of it. Both team starters ERA. Havana is much more, it appears to be a much better starter crew. However, the starters he has is nowhere near where they are. Montreal starters are better than where he's showing his ranking. Bullpen, they're both pretty bad in comparison to the league. Havana's 10th and Montreal 12th. Defensive efficiency, I don't give much weight to that stat other than a ranking. Run scored, they're both there. This is going to come down to the last day of the season. I think the first 2 games are split, and I think the last game, Hasegawa against either Kim or Minor, is the swing game. If Minor goes for Havana in that last game, I think Havana wins that series and takes the division crown. And
what's
then forces Montreal to go.
What's fun about all of it is that this is a three-day salmon we export, not knowing the results. So Montreal could lose the first two games. Havana could lose, could win the first two, and Hasegawa could be pitched anyway, even after Montreal's already lost the division, and just be wasted. You know what I mean? Like that's the risky part.
Correct.
So I'm saying that, yes.
I wouldn't be opposed if Goldie did something with that and allowed them, you know, send special instructions for that last game. You know, the
I'd
whole thing is to get to
well.
The playoffs. I don't like the idea of shooting your load to get there, and then all of a sudden you didn't need to do that and fire that bullet because you did what you needed to do and then screwed up your playoff rotation and you took a team out of it in the first round. But that's part of the strategy of the game. So I'm going Montreal over Havana.
And this is why I have Manhattan Beach beating whoever he faces in the first round. I mean, Manhattan Beach can kind of sit there like, I'm saying back, I'm going on the road, but Verb Reddy's not pitching, and he's going to be just waiting to go three games. You know what I mean?
That won't happen against Montreal. Because even though you got Verb Reddy going for games 1, 4, and 7, Montreal has Gallegos for 1, 4, and 7.
So do you see any way Gallegos
well.
Doesn't – So do you see any way that Montreal –
Montreal has a better chance of advancing through the wild card round than Havana does.
Well, mine and Montreal's
– Depending if Minor is held back or not. If Minor is held back, I like Minor against Vemretti in 1, 4, and 7.
Well, Gallegos is interesting because he can go Gallegos game one this sim. He had – me and Montreal played last sim. And something happened. I don't know what happened, but my pitching rotation got fucked up too. Gallegos is he went on the 20th and
the
22nd.
He went 5 days ago. He's ready to go. Like I said,
he
I'm just looking at the game. I didn't click through the teams and the pitchers to see. I'm just looking at their home screen, their home screen and their rotation, how it's set up.
For sure. And I was just looking when you were talking right now, and the only reason I know is because we just played the last sim. And for whatever reason on that last sim, both of our things got jacked up. Like, it wasn't necessarily what you've talked about having strict not often. I mean, he only threw 35 pitches because he went – I mean, Gallegos hates me so much, he wanted to face me twice. I mean,
here's the thing. Cato cannot go. He pitched 2 days ago.
Correct.
Hasegawa cannot go until game 162 because he's still under a two-game suspension.
Correct.
Gallegos could go game one.
Yeah, for sure. He can go game 160 and game one. Because remember, RCL goes second. So he would have the 1 day off, 2 day off, the day off, and then the first game of the other series.
No, Goldie, I think he's gonna match them up. They're not gonna be staggered series like they were.
Are you sure?
I believe that's what he said.
Okay.
So you're looking here at Cato, Molina, and what are we looking at? We're looking at Gallegos first. We're looking at Molina second. And then we're looking at Hasegawa third.
And we're only spending time on this because if Gallegos goes, it completely changes the projection of this series. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only reason we're spending time on it, because it completely changes everything.
Just to see what they got here, if he screwed up anything. Minor can only go game five, it looks like. And Stroud is on target to start, give or take. So Minor is looking game three only, if. So, yeah, Montreal, based on what they have going, I'm going to give the nod to. However, if any of these pitchers has a bad outing, or doesn't get to the seventh inning, it's gonna be a slugfest.
I don't disagree with you, Gary. So second half of this season's been absolutely fun. It's been absolutely bonkers. We've had teams flipping, flopping all over the place. So I think you went Mile High. I went Georgia. I said Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually not. I mean, I wasn't even trying to be contrarian. We actually disagree on it. I'm going Georgia and Eureka. You're going Mile High and KC. Which isn't necessarily as fun. I would have liked to see KC, if he is going to get in, face Mile High the first round, because I don't think KC survives. because I don't think KC survives around in the playoffs. I mean, maybe he does. I just don't think he has the pitching. You know,
I don't think he survives the trash talking. I mean, we run the risk here of putting Mile High in a position to do something nobody else has been able to do, and that's basically to shut Timmy up. Fuck KC. Hashtag fuck KC.
But you know, because of Ron, just because Braun is Ron, that if he gets Kansas City, he's going to lose that series. You know that.
Of course he
is. Because it doesn't logically make any sense, but it'll happen. Now, we should also mention, Mile High will be getting Chin back for the playoffs, which will be huge. So, Chin's out 2 days. I'm hoping that he has him in his lineup. He's ready to come off the DL, so I hope he's ready in his lineup to get to play the last game of the season. I mean, that's a, what, 340 hitter? I mean, 346 hitter? I mean, that's – Mile High is going to be firing all cylinders with Chin, with Valentin, Dempsey, who hit 44 home runs this year and probably wins the rookie of the year. I'm not sure. I mean, Sonny, Pratt, Sato. I mean, he's had a fucking amazing year all over, and he's only 10th in run scored. I mean, he's 8th in home runs, 10th in run scored. His pitching's been solid all around. Callahan's been his true ace. Callahan's pitched like an ace, you know. Only 50 walks, 200 strikeouts. I mean, he's pitched great. I mean, or 60 walks.
Yeah, he's pitched his great his entire career except for one season.
In South Carolina.
Correct.
Go figure. But you know what happens? He went over there. He taught all your guys what to do. You know what I mean? He was focusing on teaching. He wasn't focusing on performing that season.
Yeah, apparently.
So Gary.
And that goes with Yama too, having his worst career, his season in his career. Welcome to South Carolina, pal. He must love the weather. We don't have beaches, so he's not like he's being distracted. Must be the college town.
Underground sex clubs, maybe? I don't know. That sounds like something Yama would do.
Yeah,
he is back on. That's not nice. And you just took it a step too far. So Yama did come back, though, and absolutely killed KC in the first two games of that series. Looks like he actually had the go-ahead home run in the first game. He was a player of the game in game two. So, you know, Yama could have single-handedly put KC out of his misery the last couple of games. And really, I mean, played 100 games. 22 home runs.
Would have been nice taking that third game from Kansas City.
I mean, look at this. Last year, Yama played 130 games, hit 23 home runs, 83 RBIs. I would argue that this year was actually better. In 100 games, offensively at least, in 100 games, he hit one less home run, had 20 less RBIs. I mean, he walked a little bit less. He struck out a little bit more. I don't know why he struck out so much more, actually. He struck out more. Oh, no, never mind. That is strikeouts. He struck out 25 times more this year for you in 30 less games. That's kind of weird. But his base on balls were basically projected to be the same thing. His stolen bases, he stole more bases this year than he did for Duke, and he got caught less. I mean, he had a good season, Gary. He just wasn't $30 million good. He wasn't bad. He was useful.
You know, RBIs are a byproduct of what you have around you. So if people aren't getting on base and you're on base is typically 12 throughout the season, you're not going to have many opportunities to not get runs.
Right.
So I'm not worried about it. But still, he's before his injury, he wasn't knocking in runs. This might be the first season that he's played where he didn't win a Player of the Week award.
He never
stepped up, and he never did the job that we envisioned that he would be doing. Now, we're hoping next year is a completely different story, obviously.
Good news. He just turned 29, so, I mean, he's still super young.
Yeah, it's, you know, he started on the team in homers with 22 after missing 2 months of the season.
Right.
I just expected more from him, and I think league-wise, we expected more from him.
I mean, look
but
at Kim. Kim's
it is
gonna,
what it is.
Kim's gonna, it's funny because Kim's going to finish with the, for example, Kim's going to finish with the same WAR as he did last year. He's going to finish with 20 home runs less, about the same number of RBIs. He's going to walk a little bit less, but he's got intentionally walked still a shitload. I mean, sometimes the seasons just don't quite match up to what they prove. I mean, he won the MVP last year at the same WAR. It just depends, man. I mean, you can't
his
you can't
career historical numbers. his career historical numbers are way down. His average is .347. He hit 80 points below his average. On base, this was his first season that he didn't have a 400 on base. Sluggy gets at 500. You look at his numbers, you know what, through two-thirds of a season, 22, 60, you know, so that turns into 30 and 90. I just expect more from him. And you know what, for a guy, he's had two seasons only in his career of 100 RBIs, which is kind of crazy.
He's never played full seasons for the most part, though, you know what I mean?
He's had three full seasons. And one of the full seasons, he had 98 RBIs. And that must have been a disappointment. You know, he went from his rookie year, 51-183, to 23-98. It was like, you know, that's a big drop-off. And that's right. Between 20 and 21 when he was just a baby, 21 and 22 years old. But this is, you know, probably this has got to be his worst season in his career. Even though last year he had 68 games and he had a 2.7 WAR, he exceeded that this year. But it's just different. Just not what I expected. Now Gundabe,
but not a bad season though.
No, Gundabe, I, you know what, Tim with Kansas City has been known throughout Tim's tenure in the league as a base-stealing threat. He's had Ollie North over 100 a couple times. He's led the league in stolen bases, et cetera, et cetera. Last year, Gundabe for Kansas City stole one base. And his stealing, my scout has him at 79. OSA has him at 84. I let him loose on the bases. He stole 32 bases, which might be a career high for him.
I have him at 95.
That's your scout. That's why I put OSA in there too. But he stole more bases this year, 32, than the previous 3 years combined, where he stole 19, 10, and 1, which is 30. So I don't know why Tim put the brakes on him. I'd be interested to hear about that.
I mean, I guess when you have hitters like that, you don't necessarily think of running a guy as much, because why have the possibility of him getting thrown out when he's probably going to get driven in? I mean, looking at the statistics maybe real quick, I mean, if Tim doesn't make the playoffs, it's going to be crazy, because he has, to me, the two clear-cut MVPs, Matt Winters and Kurt Hall, both of which are like 2 points higher in WAR than anyone else, both of which are hitting like 340-plus. Winters is hitting 387. Both of which are driving in 125-plus runs. I mean, both of which is OPSs are about 1,000-plus. Like, the fact that he could potentially not make the playoffs, I would go out on a limb and say they probably have the two best seasons combined of any two players in ABL history in terms of WAR and overall offensive production, without knowing. I mean, if they're not 1 and 2, they're very close. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe you don't run that much. I mean, he's fifth in stolen bases, though, so you're right. I mean, it's not like he doesn't run. It's just, I don't know why he parks. It's just
weird. I mean, looking at Kansas City, you got Ollie North with 48, and he's up there in age. Bauman at 32, Bowman, Eddie Lopez, 37. He's got guys that run, and then he got at the bottom Tanaka with 25. He's got guys that run. I'm just surprised he didn't turn him loose last year.
It's just
an insight. It's something that, you know, how does a guy go from one stolen base basically and jump to 30? It just, it's not natural, but it's just, why did he have the slider turned out? Or why did he put the brakes on him?
Team philosophies, man. He could have, you know, got different players, had injuries, didn't change his slider back. I mean, there's lots of different scenarios in which I can see that as a logical option. We should congratulate Chicago, though, who has officially clinched the number one draft pick. Congratulations to Chicago.
Oh.
Congratulations. Portland, if they can somehow lose a couple more games, well, no, because they got 65, 66, 64. Portland is right now top five pick. So, you know, if you're Portland and you win the direction
no,
you want
they're
to
not top five. You got three teams with 100 losses. No. You got three teams with 100 losses: Edmonton, Washington, Chicago, and you got Oakland, who sitting at 99 facing Jacksonville, who needs one game to clinch.
Okay,
there's four teams that are under that are already 100 losses.
Okay.
You got Portland sitting at 94 losses. However, you got Dallas and Minnesota both sitting on 95.
They can finish top four, though.
And you got Jersey. You got Jersey at 93. Worst case scenario, Portland could draft 8th.
Yeah, so he needs to lose the next couple games. He's playing Quebec, though, so that's probably not likely.
That's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, right. Looking at his players, though, he's really had a decent season. You know, runs against and runs scored. Obviously, he's given up 150 more runs than he has allowed, which is not great.
Yeah,
scored,
but he's also given up a bulk of his offense in Holmes and Davey.
Correct.
And then prior to the season, he let Lewis go to Oakland. So his offense definitely took a hit. Raleigh's in a rebuilding position.
Hey, look at that, Reggie. Look at that, Reggie Dunlop's on the DL for 2 months.
I don't remember him when I had him being injury prone. So
yeah, happens. I mean,
no, not really. No, he just had a bad year. He was out 5 days in 2006, a week for 5. But this year he was out for 2 weeks and then 3 months. Shoulder, oblique, and then a torn knee muscle. Torn cartilage. His meniscus.
So, big picture.
He'll bounce back. He'll bounce back.
ABL, big picture, ABL season's rounding around. It's rounding out. Season's almost over. You said SoCal will not be your projection to win the World Series this year, which is fine. Do you have a team in which direction you are leaning?
Yeah, I want to see how everything plays out, shakes out, and who ends up where.
But you have a team in your mind right now?
Yeah.
Do you think SoCal gets out of my head? Do you think I get to the LCS?
I don't think you get to the World Series.
Okay, so you think Duke?
We're gonna have a new team on the Roberto Clemente League representing the league in the World Series.
And do you think the RCL is going? I mean, I know you're gonna want to say TML, but do you think the RCL outside of SoCal has a chance at beating whoever comes out of your end, or do you think the teams are just at that much a level, a knock a level lower after SoCal and after Duke City, who I believe is the second best team on my side? By the way,
I believe if you're not there, that everything is wide open.
But you think if I get there, I win it?
No, I don't think you get there.
Oh, interesting. Now I really want to repeat again. Now I really, really want to.
That's called the teaser for the next podcast. Probably, I'm not sure what the schedule. We're definitely playing Wednesday to finish up this season, but I don't have it in front of me where we're going to end up with the sim schedule as I quickly look.
We'll definitely try to get a podcast out before, like with playoff predictions, first round predictions. We'll definitely get that out, or we'll try.
I want to try. Yeah, it's I just can't find his thing right now. The sim schedule. I must have. It's not in my delete folder, which is interesting. We got about a minute left, give or take.
Anything you want to touch on
before we go?
Yeah, I do have one thing I want to touch on, but before I say that, I just want to say that if I am not to make it back to the World Series, that I want to lose to Seattle or Las Vegas and not to Troy, because I don't think I'd ever hear the end of it.
Probably not, but that's okay.
I do want to say that the season's been great, and I'm really happy to see Georgia make the playoffs after back-to-back years missing out by a game or two. 3 years ago, he had that 60-65 win season. I don't recall off the top of my head, a real bad season. But Georgia, you know, Jesse's really turned that team around after barely missing the last 2 years. And it's good to see another team outside of Eureka and Kansas City get into the playoffs in that division, which has historically been dominated by those two teams. It's nice to see those two teams.
Absolutely. I am happy. I'm happy seeing Mile High in there. They haven't made the playoffs since 2014, and we got about 2 seconds left. Goodbye.
God bless.